to it. Oh.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, thank you. We're all happy because all the hurricanes are out into the Atlantic and not hitting us. So,
there's three things in the Pacific. Yeah, there's three things in the Pacific, three things in the Atlantic. We don't, you know, we pretty much know where they're going, but whatever.
Yeah,
it's what
and
a
maybe something in the Gulf. Who knows? You know, I mean, it's just
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that time of year. Yeah, so
yeah, it's the peak of the season, I think they said.
Peak of the season.
So, yeah.
So
welcome to the.
We're back live again. All About Wine. It is, what is today? The 19th, September 19th, 2019. Oh, at 9:19 and 19 seconds tonight, it will be 9:19:19, 9:19:19.
Right.
Yeah. I just, you know, if you're a number follow. 9:19:19 is right now, but 9:19:19 at 19 minutes after 9 o'clock tonight at 19 seconds after 19 minutes. So 9:19:19, 9:19:19.
It will not happen again. This is your last chance.
It won't happen again. No, not for ever.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I didn't. 2019. Oh, yeah. So it'd be 21:19 all happen again. So 100 years. So all of you young kids out there, 100 years from now, you might experience it, but never for us.
Right. This is it.
Yeah, this is it. There's a lot of once-in-a-lifetime events when it comes to celestial things. So yeah. Well, did you have your cheeseburger yesterday for National Cheeseburger Day?
I did, and I didn't, and I totally forgot that it was Cheeseburger Day. But I went to Burger King because it was open. They had it torn up for like 2 weeks. They were redoing the drive-thru, and then they just decided to redo the whole parking lot. And so I was like, oh, let me go check them out. And I went there, and I just happened to order a number one with cheese. And then I got home, and then I don't know what I was looking at, but it might have been my notes or something. But I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm having a cheeseburger on National Cheeseburger Day.
National Cheeseburger Day. You said. That's very good.
Yeah. Did you have? Thank you. Did you have one or?
No. Actually, I forgot about it being National Cheeseburger Day until about 8 o'clock last night. I'd already ate, and it was 8. And I thought about maybe I can run down and get myself a cheeseburger. There's a McDonald's about 5 minutes from us, but I thought and so I didn't. So,
well,
but good. I'm glad you did. That's,
yeah, it was
one of us.
Not intentional. Yeah. It was by accident, totally by accident. But I didn't realize until I got home, and I don't know what I was looking at, but I thought, oh that's today. Okay, good. So, yeah,
that's today.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I saw something, I think, in the paper or something. They said something about National Cheeseburger Day that I was reading. A little bit of the paper last night, and there was a little small thing, National Cheeseburger Day. So well, good. I'm glad you continued on. Speaking of days, tomorrow's National Butterscotch Pudding Day. which I can't think of any wine right now that goes with that, but I love butterscotch pudding. So that Friday, National Pepperoni Pizza Day. So there's all sorts of wines you can have with that. Have you, you know, white wines or light reds or anything. That's good. Also, Friday's National Queso Day. Q-U-E-S-O. What's a queso? Do you know, engineer?
What?
A queso. Q-U-E-S-O. Queso. I have no idea what it is. That's what I'm asking. Cheese and salsa dip. Let's see if she's right this time, because I'm sure Mike's looking it up even as we speak.
Yep. Queso, not queso. Queso. It's queso. Oh. Queso dip is a Mexican cheese dip. I usually get the white queso
there
when I go to a Spanish restaurant. I usually get the white queso, and it's delicious
white
with the
queso.
Nachos. And yes. Yeah. They have cheddar. Oh. They have different types, but, you know, different chilies, and it
white
could be spicy. And yeah, it's really good. It's good stuff.
Oh, I never had it. I always get the yellow. You know, they bring it to me, and
yeah.
I enjoy it before the meal and think, I can make a meal out of this. And then I
That's right.
My food.
Absolutely.
So that's tomorrow also. And then Saturday, National Pecan Cookie Day. And International Day of Peace. I'm going to bring that up, too. That is Saturday. Sunday is National Ice Cream Cone Day. So I suppose you can have it in the sugar cones or, you know, the whatever type of cones they are. But National Ice Cream Cone Day. Excuse me. Monday, National White Chocolate Day. Which, actually, there's no such thing as white chocolate, I think, as far as the actual white chocolate. I don't think there is. It isn't a thing. It's made, but I don't think it's a thing. Tuesday, National Cherries Jubilee Day. That's good, too. You can have yourself a nice sweet wine with that. Get yourself a Sauternes or an ice wine or any of those, but that would be good. Wednesday, here's a good one, National Lobster Day. So that's all sorts of wines you can have with lobster and all sorts of ways you can have lobster. I think it's the season for lobster, too. I think, you know, what is it, the Red Lobster is having their Lobster Fest or something like that. So I think it's season for lobster. So that's Lobster, National Lobster Day coming up next Wednesday. And next Thursday we'll be back on again, but that's National Key Lime Pie Day, National Dumpling Day, and National Pancake Day. So a bunch of them coming up next Thursday. So there you go. That's what our food is for the coming week here. Match it up, pair it up with your wines, and enjoy. That's what food and wine are great, great combinations there. So that's good way to do it. Okay, let's see. What else? Oh, the Wine Consumer Speaks. Wine Lovers International. There's a competition coming up put on by Wine Lovers Tasters Guild in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is the 24th annual. Consumers evaluate wines by variety and price. Professional judges sit on the tasting panels in an advisory capacity, but they don't really do the judging. It's ultimately the people who buy the wine that award the double gold, silver, bronze medals, and all that. If you want to go and be part of it, you can. I mean, they grab people to do the tastings. If you want to enter any wine, it's $50 per wine, and only 2-bottle samples are required. A lot of these places go as much as 5 bottles, but they only require 2 bottles. This is coming up on October the 4th and 5th. Deadline for entry is September the 26th. So we're approaching the deadline here. But if you want to get a hold of them, you can get a hold of them possibly if you're going to be in the area or something like that, and you want to be a judge on that, you can email them at joeb at tastersguild.com or give them a call, 616-454-7815. I think that'd be cool to do a tasting of. You know, I've never been a judge, and I think that'd be cool to do a tasting like that and judge stuff. So that's 24th Annual Consumer Wine Judging. And we also still have coming up in the near future here the Wine Spectators New York Wine Experience, which is Thursday, October 17th, Friday, October 18th, $475 for a VIP ticket, 6:30 to 10, or general admission is only $375, but they have 273 wines rated 90 or above, plus delicious gourmet buffet featuring hot and cold dishes to enjoy, and a tasting book and pen to write down your choices. You know, you'd almost end up spending all the time at the buffet, I'm afraid, on something like that, that they have all those unique things. You'd want to jump over and taste that. But coming up October the 17th and 18th, and it's a whole weekend of stuff. You don't have to just stop there. And then the Grand Tour, Wine Spectators Grand Tour, hitting Chicago on Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2020, Las Vegas, Saturday, April 25th, 2020, and Washington, D.C., Friday, May 1st, 2020. More on that as it gets closer and we get more information. Mike and I were talking, and he is going to be our representative at Epcot Food and Wine Festival. He is, I don't think we're going to be able to mic him while he goes on there, but he is going to try to check out the Food and Wine Festival and give us a full report on it. So we will be looking forward to that. That goes on, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival goes from now until the end of November. I don't know if it's every day or just weekends or what. Did you ever check on that, Mike? Did you find out?
I was looking it up, and I let me find out something real quick. I thought it was every day. Because they have they have concerts, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in there. Let me get the schedule here. Yeah, I'll pull it up. I had it on here. I know there was entertainment and all kinds of goodies going on.
I read something interesting. Oh, you find it?
No, I'm trying to pull it up here. There was something blocking it.
I read something interesting. Walt Disney came down and bought the land for Disney World, but Disney World was an attraction secondary to what his thoughts were of making a town, a village, not what we have now, the Disney Village, but an actual village there, a city, if you will, and having all the amenities of a city and with hospitals and offices and everything else, people working at Disney. When he died, the corporation did not want to continue being founders of a city and all the complications that it involved, and so they converted it over to Epcot and made it Epcot and incorporated all the different countries and cities in it. So that
the
was something I
event
just found.
Is daily from August 29th through November 19th.
19th,
November 19th.
Daily, wow.
Yeah, they have entertainment, musical performances, and major recording artist, and it's all part of the event as well. So it's all kinds of genre too. So it's not like it's just going to be rock or jazz or whatever, but there's going to be it's a lot. some big names and
any number of days, probably different regions, two different areas. If you've never been to Epcot, it's well worth it just to go. It is fascinating. And then with the Wine Food Festival, it just adds a whole new dimension to it also. Then all the concerts, and it's big enough too. They can have two or three concerts going on at the same time or two or three groups and never interfere with each other. They would never, it would not be something that would, the sound would affect the other. So that's coming up until November 19th, every day, the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, and maybe Mike's going to make a trip in there and let us know what's going on with it and give us a first-hand
report. Man on the street.
And on the street. There you go. So we'll see if he can't do that between now and November the 19th. That gives you a month, almost 2 months. What's today? The 19th? That gives you 2 whole months. Yeah, there you go. So.
Yeah.
So let's hope you can make it.
That's good.
Wine tonight I am sipping on is an Indaba, I-N-D-A-B-A, Indaba Chenin Blanc, 2017 vintage. It is out of, I believe, South Africa. I think this one is a South African wine. White wine of origin Western Cape, product of South Africa. It is, Indaba is also the cornerstone of philanthropic movement to bring early childhood education to those most in need in the Cape Winelands community. So this is one of the goals of Indaba Winery. But the Chenin Blanc is a sustainably grown, superbly crafted. This is, yeah, it doesn't say biodynamic on it. And I was talking to somebody who was tasting this, and they said it doesn't say biodynamic on it, but I've never seen a wine that actually says biodynamic on the label. It's almost like it's a rare thing to put it on there. It's, people don't understand it, and so they don't put it on the label for fear of people not understanding it, I guess. But this says, for more, visit Indaba Wines, IndabaWines.com. This says, drawn from the world's oldest soil, Indaba Wines are crafted by family farmers who have perfected their art over generations. These are real wines made by real people. That doesn't tell you squat, does it? Okay, but I think this is this sustainably grown? I think this might be a, well, I don't know, biodynamic or not.
I'm looking on their website. Yeah, I'm looking on the I have the 2017 Chenin Blanc spec sheet, I guess is what it's called. And yeah, there's nothing on here that says I mean, it goes into some detail on vinification and maturation, vintage, vineyards, and all that, but nothing says I don't see any words here saying biodynamic or anything like that, so.
Or even organic, you know.
Yeah,
but
no,
like
yeah,
I say,
make any references.
But it does say sustainably grown on the label, so I don't know. I just, it's strange. It's good. It's a nice Chenin Blanc. The reason we got it, this is one of these we picked up at the tasting, went to about a month ago, and it's a good Chenin Blanc. It's got some nice flavors to it. It's light. It's not real acidic. Little bit of citrus note to the nose. It's not offensive for Chenin Blancs, and some people don't like them because they can tend to be a little acidic. This one isn't, so it's very nice. This will go well with some nice lighter meals and stuff. If you're looking for a pleasant white wine, then this would fit the bill very well. And it wasn't real expensive. I think it was around $10-$12, but I know it didn't say anything about it. You're right, on the website, and the people didn't know. And wait a minute, I'm looking at the collar here. This is a screw cap. It's a screw cap. Stelvin. Yes, a Stelvin cap. And but on the screw cap itself, there is a little thing that says Integrity and Sustainability Certified.
Yes. And that I did find information on another page on their website. Under, it says Our Story, and there's a link for sustainability. And it does mention that. Certified by the Wine and Spirit Board of South Africa. The seal is a guarantee of the wine's origin, vintage, and variety as stated on the wine label. It is also a guarantee that the wine complies with IPW criteria, integrated production of wine, a voluntary environmental protection program established by the South African wine industry. The seal verifies your bottle of Indaba was crafted under strict guidelines requiring eco-friendly wine production and sustainable agricultural manufacturing and packaging practices.
Wow. So, pretty good standards there. But nothing about biodynamic or organic.
Nope.
So, I would have to say it's not, but it is a good wine that's prepared sustainably. Yeah. So it's nice though. It's a pleasant Chenin Blanc. It really is. It's a good example of a Chenin Blanc. We usually tend to gravitate toward reds, and during the tasting that we went to ABC, we picked up whites, and we thought, well, you know, if we got these, why not try to taste some of these? These are. And this is good, the Indaba. I would definitely do another one of these. It is well worth, like I said, I think the cost around 12, 10, something. It's well worth the cost. If you see it anywhere, grab it. It is a good wine. And so that's our wine for tonight. Let's see, what else? We have a couple of, as soon as I can find my cursor, there it is. We have a couple of wineries that have events coming up here real soon. And let me get into that and find it here. Okay, here we go. This is not a winery, but it is an interesting thing. I received an email, and I get this from Virginia Wineries. It's from Virginia Wine. It is a website for the Virginia Wine Council, or whatever you want to call it, virginiawines.org. And they are saying this is Virginia Wine Month. October marks the start of the Virginia Wine Month, a tradition that began in 1988. And so it's coming up. So in October, Virginia is having their celebration for Virginia Wine Month. Harvest Party is a day for the Commonwealth to come together to toast the richness of the region. And I thought they're saying Commonwealth there. I didn't think Virginia was a Commonwealth. I thought the only Commonwealth was Massachusetts. I may be wrong. Start planning your itinerary online. Request a Virginia Winery Guide. You can do that if you want a Virginia Winery Guide. Create an account at virginiawine.org, or you can go and download the virginia.wine.app. All right, is that it? Select a region you want to visit, add wineries to your itinerary, and all sorts of stuff. So, Virginia is celebrating their Virginia Wine Month in October, and harvest parties and all sorts of stuff. Now is the time to gear up for it and start doing it. So if you're in that area, if you're going to be in that area, jump on it. Presque Isle. Presque Isle is a winery located in Pennsylvania. They are big. If you are a winemaker, you are familiar with Presque Isle because Presque Isle sells supplies. Lots and lots of supplies. You can get just about anything you want for your winery from Presque Isle. Reasonable prices, good shipping, good customer service. But they are also a winery. And I believe we talked to them as a winery back when we were talking about Pennsylvania a few years ago. Presque Isle is located at 9440 West Main Street in Northeast. That's in Pennsylvania. And they have stuff coming up that different events and stuff. But they have tastings there. They also have juice if you want to get juice from them, if you want to get anything. If you are a winemaker, a home winemaker, then they have everything and anything you need. They're very good. They're open from 9 to 5, 5 days a week. And Oh, Spy Shop 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 2 on Sunday. And then I'm not sure their hours through the week, but they are good. They've got juice. You can pick up Sangiovese, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Oudvine Zinfandel. For example, Cabernet Sauvignon, $22 a gallon, so you can get a gallon of cab for $22, which, you know, it's a good price. I don't think it's finished, but you can pick that stuff up there. So Presque, P-R-E-S-Q-U-E, Presque Isle, I-S-L-E, P-I-Wine.com, P-I-C-Wine.com. But Presque Isle, I get stuff from them periodically, and it's some good information there. Virginia Wine Month, okay, we just looked at that. And, oh, Whispering Oaks. Weather is starting to cool down. Boy, aren't they optimistic. They said the weather is starting. They're located just east of Gainesville, north of Tampa. So they have events coming up on the weekends. Steak night every Friday night or Saturday night. Friday night. They have steak night, $28.50 per person, not included gratuity, and they have all sorts of stuff on it. They have live music coming up, The Mudge, Del Stumbo, and Richie Q over the next couple of weekends. And they also have their constant wine tasting and wine pairing dinner coming up on a week away. Yeah. They are also going to be doing a Viking River and Ocean cruise. It doesn't say. I don't know. It's coming in October. But they got all sorts of stuff there. So get a hold of them. This was a big email. Get a hold of them at winesofflorida.com. Or that's really the best way to do it. www.winesofflorida.com. For Presque Isle, open every day of the week except Monday, and they're closed on Monday. Nice place up there. You would enjoy that. And let's see. I've got another one here. Innery River, I think, if I can find where they are. There they are. Okay. Innery River. They are in South Carolina, I believe. Is that right? South Carolina, Newberry, South Carolina. Innery River has pre-order your cranberry wine. Save $6 off every 2 bottles of cranberry wine you pre-order online. So you can go to bit.ly/cranberry-wine. And you can do that. Newberry Harvest Festival, October the 12th. I mentioned that last week, I believe. That is coming up. Pack the Porch, Innery River Winery Wine Plus Music Series, free admission at first Pack the Porch Wine and Music event is Sunday, September the 29th. Free admission. And then you can purchase all the wines and sit there and listen to music and all that. So that sounds great. And it's a continuous thing, too. They have a lineup of events coming for Pack the Porch on way up until the 3rd of November. So a lot of things going on, a lot of stuff happening there at Innery Winery in South Carolina. You can get a hold of them at let me see. Where is it? There we go. InneryRiverVineyards.com. Innery, E-N-O-R-E-E, Innery River Vineyards. And if you have any information or have any questions or anything, you can also call them 803-276-2855. And I think that's it for our winery catch-up for tonight. Yes, it is. Okay. And then there's nothing on this one. No, I've got Virginia Wines. Tassel Ridge. Okay, there's another one. Tassel Ridge Winery, located in Iowa. Again, they're ongoing stuff there. They have it all the time. They're located in southeast Iowa, a little town in southeast Iowa called Lytton, southeast of Des Moines. You can visit them at TasselRidgeWinery.com, I believe. Let me see what it says here. TasselRidge.com. There's no winery. Tassel, T-A-S-S-E-L, TasselRidge.com. So, and again, there are ongoing stuff there going happening out there. They're finishing up harvest now, I believe. But they got some great wines, big lineup of wines there, so you can go visit. So, that's it. Found something interesting this past week that I thought was fascinating. And it was in the Wall Street Journal, but it's on their website. And this was, I've been saving it because I was afraid I was going to lose it, so I've been careful not to eliminate it for any reason. But this is your guide to NFL wines and winemakers. National Football League wines and winemakers. Now, it's not what's being served. It is who owns wineries and in the NFL and all that. It's just very interesting. I'm still trying to gather up information to see what each sports venue serves as far as wine goes. And it's very difficult to get a hold of stuff because most of the times they don't list them. And so I've been trying to find out what they all serve. And once I do, I'll get something together and I'll have imposed on Mike to put together some sort of a website. Maybe we can, or even add it to ours or something. But that's in the future. Right now, we got this. This is your definitive guide to NFL and wine. 2019 season, more teams than ever have announced official wine partnerships, bringing Cabernets and Victories sparklers to the stadium and living rooms. Okay. Across the league are discovering wine and flaunting their bona fides, from the Panthers quarterback Cam Newton's sommelier stylings to Vikings rookie linebacker Cam Smith. These are the wines. Okay, we've got veterans that are out there with their wines and everything else. Lamar Hunt, who started the American Football League and coined the term Super Bowl, is one of the gridiron pros who founded wineries. And here is a brief list, I guess complete. I would have to trust this article. Drew Bledsoe, former New England Patriots quarterback. His wine is Double Back Cellars, Bledsoe Family Wines, owned by Bledsoe and McDaniels. First vintage was in 2007. They've been making wine in native Eastern Washington for nearly as long as his NFL career, but he has recently had a very good batch, a state-of-the-art Walla Walla Winery for 2018 vintage was phenomenal, they're saying. He's also launching a new label, having a winery specifically focused on Pinot Noir and Syrah, which is the only ones that he does, will be clarifying for our customers and will give the wines a greater sense of purpose and authenticity that they deserve, Bledsoe said. So, Drew Bledsoe and his winery. We also have John Elway, who is the former Broncos quarterback and current president GM of Denver Broncos. His wine, Seven Cellars. It's a Rutherford, California project specializing in Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay. He's partnered with Robert Mondavi Jr. and Mari Wells Coyle. First season was 2015, first vintage. He said that proceeds from Seven Sellers benefits Team Rubicon, an organization that helps veterans use their training to assist fellow citizens in times of natural disaster. So there is a cool thing that these profits are going to, which is really nice. So the label is Seven Sellers. Let's see. Yeah, Seven Sellers. That's what Elway's number, by the way, during his career with the Broncos was number seven. So next one, Terry Hogue, former NFL safety. He has TH Estates Wines, focusing on Rhone styles and Paso Robles. His wife is his partner in this winemaking. His first season, first vintage, 2002. He purchased the vineyard in 2002 in what is now the Willow Creek AVA of Paso Robles and planted most of the vines themselves. Now it encompasses 26 acres and a big variety of Syrah, Grenache, Malverde, and a few white Rhone varieties. His wife, Jennifer, is the primary winemaker now. They joined other area winemakers founding MUST, a charity to fund community education, health, and economic initiatives in the Paso Robles area. And then, like I mentioned earlier, and here it is again, the winery of the founder of the American Football League and also the founder of the American of the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, he moved them to Kansas City. They were a Texas team. They moved them to Kansas City. Lamar and Norma Hunt. The wine name, Perfect Season, and Knights Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. They're in partnerships with Felipe Milka. The first vintage, 2002. Norma, the wife of Lamar, fell in love with wine on trips to Tuscany and Napa. And so she named Perfect Season in honor of her late husband, Lamar, who was skeptical about entering into the wine business at first. When she first asked him about buying a small vineyard, he rolled his eyes and says, "I'm a very good businessman, but I know this is going to be a difficult business, so I'm not sure." Well, they did, and it did well. After his death in 2006, Norman continues to oversee everything, and she does now have wines at Chiefs Theme Arrowhead Red and Gold Reserves Knights Valley Cabernet. So it's continue to grow it, continue to take care of it, and it is available at the Chiefs game. Next one, Dan Marino and Damon Hurd, former NFL quarterbacks. Their wine, Passing Time. It's a Washington Cabernet-focused winery. They're in partnership with Chris Peterson of Avenia Wine. Their first vintage, 2012. They started back in the 90s when Marino introduced Howard to Washington Wines, and they fell in love with it. And they always talked about going into partnership someday, and when they retired, they did. And so now they are concentrating on one wine. That is Cabernet Sauvignon. And it is, multiple vintages and stuff since 2012, and they've got the money to do it and do it well. And so they're setting on the ones that need to be aged, and they're putting the others in there and doing a great job. They have expanded to include Appalachian-specific Cabernets from Horse Haven Hills, Red Mountain, and Walla Walla. And then their flagship Columbia Valley Bordeaux blend. So they have done quite well on it, different vintages, different sources, and this is what they're doing, Cabernet Sauvignon. Carmen Policy, a former president of the San Francisco 49ers, also has his winery in partnership with Thomas Brown. It's Casa Pina, P-I-E-N-A, a Napa winery specializing in Cabernet Sauvignon. He eventually held, or he went up to the Napa Valley and found himself some vineyards and bought himself a vineyard. He began Casa Pina, which means full house in Italian, back in 2003, and has minty vintages, and has been used to celebrate at different events for the 49ers since he started it. Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning former NFL coach. Vermeil Wines, specializing in Napa and Sonoma, Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Chardonnay, and more. Thomas Brown and Andy Jones are partners. The first year they did a vintage, 1999, so they've been in it for 20 years now. Started as a hobby, is now a full-fledged wine business. The same grapes his grandfather picked for the Frodini Vineyard are still used today to make Vermeil's flagship cabs. But he also sources fruit from other areas. It's like having a great football team, he says, and you got to have a good quarterback, but then you can fill it in with great other people. So he has his vineyard in Napa. Charles Woodson, he's a former Oakland Raiders cornerback, 24 by Charles Woodson, and intercept. He partnered with Robert Mondavi, alumni Gustavo Gonzalez and Rick Ruiz on 24, and O'Neill Vintners and Distillers on intercept. 2001 was his first vintage, and the 24 is a higher-end cab and is focused on the terror of Napa, where they train, where he trained with, he was with the Raiders. Intercept was just launched in August of this year, actually last month. He just launched that. It is a more accessible line, he says, of Apostle Ropos Cabernet, Red Blend, and Chardonnay, plus a Monterey Pinot Noir. So the price point is down a little bit from his high-end Woodson 24. So it's 24 by Charles Woodson. Teams also, Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams, New York Giants. Wine, California Cabernet 2017 from Woodbridge. 2019 was first season. Woodbridge is launching 375-milliliter cans of Cabernet sporting gridiron-themed uniforms. Woodbridge wine drinkers have expressed a love for football and are looking deeper into their interests. He saw an overlap with the football fandom, and he released a can, a Woodbridge can, which has a helmet on it and the little stripes of a football field. So, and can size, the can size shows on the can 2.5 glasses of wine, which would be about 12 ounces or more. So maybe just a regular full-size can. Carolina Panthers, California Cabernet Sauvignon, marking 25 years of the team's existence in the NFL. Wine by Design has came out in 2019 with a Carolina Panther bottle label that is available at wine retailers, supermarkets, and at Bank of America Stadium on the game, on day of the games. And it's a it says here Sauvignon Blanc, but it says there Cabernet Sauvignon. So I guess it's Cabernet Sauvignon, but So then New York Jets Uncorked, a wine from Sonoma Napa, blend of primarily Zinfandel with Merlot, Syrah, and Petit Syrah to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl III win. Cooper Kane founder Joe Wagner and his partner in it. First season they brought that out, first vintage 2018. And the logo pays homage to the game-winning play 19 straight, which got the Jets to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl, the 1968 Super Bowl. And it's a blend created from wines out, or grapes out of Napa. Tennessee Titans, California Red Blend, celebrating the team's 20th anniversary in Nashville. They're partnering with Passaropos Broken Earth Winery and Wine by Design. This is another one that has a label of the Titans emblem on it. It is heritage and sustainable farming practices, and it is in honor of the Tennessee Titans. Wine, not whiskey. Indianapolis Colts. There's another one. Columbia Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2016, celebrating 35 years. And another one honoring Peyton Manning's retirement of California Cabernet 2015, commemorating 10 years since the Super Bowl, 26th Super Bowl victory. Oregon winemaker Andre Houston Mack of Maison Noir. The bowling sign by Manning was unveiled with the quarterback statue at the stadium. And at $400 a bottle, maybe the most elite of the NFL wines, or at least it's the most collectible. And then we have some other wineries and other wines. Green Bay Packers, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, New England Patriots, New Orleans Saints, Philadelphia Eagles, and San Francisco 49ers. The red wine for all these teams is a blend of Central Coast Cabernet Sauvignon and Monterey Merlot, aged 15 months in French and American oak, and each team has a different set of designs etched onto its bottles to commemorate championships and anniversary years. The sparkling wine is Lodi Blanc de Blancs. And it's partnering with Mano Wines in Kansas City, Missouri. We are always in discussion with several teams in the league. Some approach us, we approach others. Mano's executive vice president has said, so far the bottles are intended as keepsakes or for armchair consumption, but we have some products that in the works for 2020 season that will be seen in and around the stadiums for fans to drink. And so that is, well, they showed some pictures of the Patriots bottles, and there is seven of them, all of them with a Super Bowl champion number and logo on the label. And also the last one here is unofficial wine, Worston Reds and Whites, Seattle Seahawks, Northwest Cellars Winery. Formerly, the winery offered a Seahawks 1-2 label or 12 label, a hat tip to the Seahawks fans who call themselves the 12th man at Seattle games, but their legal team put a stop to that. Northwest owner Bob Delft told Unfiltered, now fans can get any Northwest bottle labeled with an I'm in. Seahawks hued design and a nod to another team mantra, but this one trademarked by Delft. So they can't use the 12th man because they got sued, so they had to stop that. And there you go. That's wines that are being owned and being made by ex-NFL players. And, you know, they have enough money, they can do it. And that's why they do it. I'm sure if I could find a list of all actors that have wineries, that would be quite extensive, too, because they have the money to do it, and they can do it. A lot of the times, that's what you need to have wineries. I've read prices before, and I still haven't heard from the company that was sending me those real estate things. I'm going to have to get a hold of them again. I was hoping to hear from them. So there is a lot of wine resumption, a lot of wines. We never have time to try everything, I'm afraid. Found a couple of interesting articles here, a couple of interesting things I want to share with you. First one here, I think, is oops, not there. Let me go back over. Back over to here. And there. Okay. The Napa Wine Train. Napa Wine Train is celebrating 30 years as a institution in Napa. 30 years, geez. It first opened in, train started back in 1987 with funds. Well, here, this article pretty much breaks it down. It said that on Monday, the Napa Valley Wine Train will celebrate 30 years of transporting grapes. And this was last Monday, this past Monday. Celebrate 30 years of transporting grape-loving travelers to wineries in Northern California. Despite its longevity, the controversial railroad has had its share of highs and lows. Train started back in 1987. Now, that's more than 30 years, 87, 97. What's the date on this article here? The date on the article is last Friday. Well, I don't know. Oh, well. Train started back in 1987 when San Francisco food purveyor Vincent DiDomenico used funds from the sale of his Rice-A-Roni and Ghirardelli chocolate empire to purchase 21 miles of tracks along the former Southern Pacific Railroad line. Inspired by trips along the famed Oriental Express, Domenico restored 8 vintage Pullman cars with the decadent finishes of a bygone era and hoped to carry a projected 450,000 passengers per year to wineries in Napa Valley. The opulent dining venture immediately ran into opposition from locals who feared the tourist attraction would turn the rural wine region into Disneyland 2.0. And they protested, by the way. There was protests all up and down the line for the first week or so that they ran that thing. Every stop, every intersection, everywhere they went, they had signs protesting this wine train. Despite the public resentment, the venture slowly picked up steam. And then in 2015, the train took another major blow when members of the primarily African-American Sistas on the Reading Edge Book Club were escorted off the train by law enforcement officers after they received a complaint that the women were speaking too loudly and allegedly disturbing passengers on the train. Excuse me. I told you about that. That was back a couple years ago. I told you about that. The racial discrimination controversy led to into $11 million lawsuit, which was settled for an undisclosed sum by the train's new owners, real estate firm Brooks Street, and partner Noble House Hotels and Resorts. And they just recently had bought the train, actually. Since then, the wine train has worked hard to recover from the public relations crisis. They have expanded their list of offerings to include murder mystery dinners, beer tasting trips, and Yuletide rides with Old St. Nick. Plans are in the works to transform the vintage terminal into a 148-room luxury hotel, accommodating the slew of new travelers from across the globe. The train continues to chug away toward a brighter future despite its storied past, and it will continue to do so. They have some pictures along with this article here. It shows some of the protests that they were doing alongside just say no to the train, the wine train, no, and stuff like that. But that didn't stop people. They still came. They still traveled on it. They still did it. It had the very high-end opulent restaurant car, diner car, and they had great food. That is one of the aspects of the wine train you can do if you really want to. The depot in St. Helena is a little small, quaint depot, which is still there. I don't know if that's the one that they're looking at building the opulent hotel at or not. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, though. But there's they go from St. Helena up to, or from Napa, I'm sorry, up to St. Helena, I think. This is, the train travels at about 4 to 15 miles per hour through the entire route, it passes by 26 wineries all along Highway 29, which is the same road that goes through Napa Valley. And the train's like, you know, not right next to it, but, you know, within a quarter of a mile of Highway 29 almost the entire time it travels up there. But 29 vineyards as it travels. And it high-end, like I say, high-end restaurant. And it's it doesn't give the price. I don't know. They vary the price so many different times on this. I've looked up prices before, and I look up again, and it varies. So, but if you're in Napa, plan on a ride on the wine train. It's worth it. It really is. It's fun. It's fun to do it once. I think it's about the only place I know of that has a dedicated wine train just for vineyards and stuff. So it is really well worth your time and effort to check that out. Phloxra. We talked about Phloxra. There's a Phloxra guide here. I think this is the one that I might have told you about. Yeah, it is. They just recently are finding Phloxra in Walla Walla, Washington. Ooh, that's not good. That really isn't good. They're finding Phloxra in Walla Walla, Washington. And because of that, they're a little bit concerned because that could devastate the area there like it has devastated the world over the years. So they're still looking for a cure. There's been all sorts of stuff saying they have found cures for it, vaccinations and sprays and all different things. Sprays don't work. The bug flies away and then comes back and stuff. So the wing form nymphs hatch in the autumn and hibernate in the roots, and then in the springtime they start feeding. And that's what really kills the plants. No cure except good rootstock that is immune to it. But if they're getting problems in Walla Walla vineyards, then it might be a concern that they're going to have to check out there. So not a good thing. Not a good thing. Let me find something else. Let me go back to something else there. And I thought this was a interesting quick little article here. And is that it? Yeah, that's it. Let me pull this up here. This is, there it is, Constellation Brands. Constellation Brands is enormous. It's one of the biggest wine label wine companies in the world. But they came out, Constellation Brands say millennials are drinking more because they are having kids. Excuse me. I love that. Constellation Brands executive said that. He said Constellation Brands is seeing an uptick in the millennial generation consumption of alcohol. About three-quarters of the millennials in the U.S. are consuming alcohol at estimates. And Generation X, those ages 21 to 24, are consuming alcohol more slowly than the millennials. The little article, short article, goes on to say that beer and wine producer Constellation Brands has seen an uptick in alcohol consumption among the millennial generation. When you said the millennials are drinking more, I'm like, that's because they have kids, said Barclays analyst Lauren Lieberman. Lieberman made the comment somewhat jokingly during the discussion with Constellation Brands. Well, the CFO of Constellation Brands, David Klein, says, says, I think that's exactly right. He cited Constellation's research on millennials to back up his broader thesis. The company found that in 2013, millennials consumed about 24, I was looking for a period, and it's not there, 24 alcoholic drinks per month. But this year, that number had climbed to about 29 per month, with about 77% of all millennials in the United States drinking alcohol, he said. So, they don't see that in Generation Z, and they're at the drinking age in 21 to 24. They don't see that, and it's not climbing nearly as much. And they said that Generation Z are consuming alcohol slightly more slowly than the millennials did at that age. He thinks that the reason is that the millennials are starting to have kids now. And because of that, it's driving them to drink. So there you go, Constellation Brands and all other alcoholic beverages out there. Kids will drive you to drink. And any of us who've ever had kids can probably attest to that. I just thought that was funny. I saw... Let me see, is this it? Okay. I said something to you about... I said something to you about the lawsuit from a grower. Montazzi Vineyards was saying that they were being... that they were suffering financial loss because there was a marijuana grower next to them and the smell of marijuana was getting into their wines. And so they sued and it went to court to see if it can be continued on as a lawsuit. At the time, I didn't have an answer. The judge ruled that the vineyard can continue the lawsuit. And they're proceeding with a racketeering lawsuit against the vineyard. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. It's Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act is what they're suing under. And we'll see what happens. This just came out. This is just a new release here. Just came out that they did say that they can go ahead with the lawsuit. And so we'll see what happens with that. I had something else here. Let me find it. Prosecco. Where is that? Revolution. Oh, there we go. Because of kids. Okay. Now this, I saw this headline. I read this article and I had a couple different reactions to it. Headline said, Chianti producers to consider increasing sweetness to, quote, appeal to women, end quote, and younger drinkers. Excuse me. My first thought was chuckle, chuckle. My second thought was, boy, I would really be offended if I were a woman. I mean, that sort of seems sexist to me. Maybe women do like a sweeter wine. I don't know. I found both men and women who love sweet wines when they came into the winery. So it wasn't just women. Yeah, people have sweet tooths and they like a sweeter wine. But it's not just specific to women or to gender. It is across the board. But the headline, when I saw that, said, whoa, that's, I'm not really seeing how they can justify saying that. But they are looking at it. They're looking at sweetening it to appeal to more women and a new generation of young drinkers because they think it's too dry. The red wine has been produced by the same name since the 13th century. And now they've approved requests from the County Wine Consortium that will allow wine producers to raise the level of residual sugars from the grape they use to produce the famous wine in line with European regulations. Yeah, my engineer from the background just said they better not call it classic Chianti then, because I'll tell you what, it sure won't be if they're going to start sweetening it. According to the latest figures, Agriculture Institute, Italy is expected to produce 46 million hectoliters of wine in 2019, 16% less than last year. And so it has them concerned, and they think part of the reason is that it's too dry. The Chianti Consortium, which represents 3,000 growers in and around Florence insist an increase in residual sugar will soften the taste of Chianti rather than give it a sweeter taste. Under new rules, they will be able to add 2 grams per liter to the acidity total, which varies from one wine to another. And until now, Chianti producers were required to keep their sugar levels to a maximum limit of 4 grams per liter. But they can raise that a little bit. I think that's going to be going up to 6. I don't know. I don't see it here. It doesn't say. It will still be a dry wine, they say, and the limit we have will be the same as other famous Italian wines, but it won't taste any sweeter. Wink, wink, I put in there. It's not an article, but I put in there. The Chianti wine was a favorite of the famous Medici family that ruled Florence for centuries. Women want wines that are more fragrant with less tannin. This is a normal evolution, says the head of the Brunello family. So, I don't know. But I was just, when I first saw that, I'm thinking, ooh, you know, I don't know if I'd, why don't you word it differently than making it sweeter? But we'll see. That's going to happen. That's going to come up, and they are going to do it. It's not a matter of should we. It looks like it's pretty much we will, and that's it. So, and then one more thing, Argentina. Argentina is starting to classify their terroirs. They feel that their regions are unique and their areas are unique, and so they are going to start classifying terroirs. Terroir being a French word meaning a specific place, a being of a place, a area that is unique in soil and climate and weather and everything else. The whole thing comes together to create a unique vineyard and a new grape, which makes a unique wine. And so there's no English word to interpret terroir. There's nothing that equals to it. But now Argentina is looking at having terroir designated areas, classifying terroirs in their terms. So instead of just saying Argentina or Mendoza are equivalents of just saying California, United States or California or Italy and Tuscany, they're going to get more specific and start stating specific areas and regions and vineyards and stuff like that, which actually it's a good idea. I mean, once people start learning it, which people won't, because people don't know a lot of the areas and stuff around the world. They don't look at that stuff. I mean, we have AVAs here in the United States that people don't look at, so, and people don't know about. So if Argentina is going to do it, I am sure it will work well within their country. But once they start shipping those wines around the world, people probably could care. Well, they probably couldn't care less about the terroir classifications of Argentina. So, here we go. That's our show for what I have to say tonight, unless Mike has anything to add.
Nope. I did find a website that lists some celebrities. I'll send you a link to that, but it does list a few celebrities who are in the wine business. And there's a few listed on here. I'm pretty sure there's more, but who knows? Like we know Francis Ford Coppola is one.
Yeah.
But there's actors and who else? An NBA star, that kind of thing. Musicians and there is a list out there, but it's not a very big list on here. But like I said, I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, because they have the money, yeah. And it takes money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. And
musicians,
and
I never thought of that.
Spotlight, you know. Oh, yeah.
So it was possibilities. I didn't mention musicians, and they seem to always have money. So.
Yep. John Legend is one, and John Bon Jovi is one. So that was, never would have guessed that one either. So I saw John Bon Jovi. I go, what? But
yeah, John Legend I knew about, but I didn't know about John Bon Jovi having a vineyard. Huh.
Yep. So, but I'll send you that, and we can analyze that next time,
thanks.
See what happens. Let's see. What else? I think I listed Smoke Taint as the topic tonight.
And I thought about that too, but I started reading the article, the technical article. Smoke Taint is, it was a nice article. It's in my Harvest Guide 2019 book. And this is sent out by ETS Labs. ETS Labs is a great lab. I used them some when I had the winery. And their harvest guide and their things they send out, I think, four times a year is great. I love it. But it's, they get a little bit technical in some of the stuff. And as I was reading through the article here, I'm saying, okay, well, that's interesting, but I need to find a different definition to this and different definitions to that and all that. So, yes, we will be talking about smoke taint as soon as I interpret this. Not that I don't, my listeners are stupid, which I definitely don't, believe me. It's just that some of this stuff I'm sitting there going, huh? And I had to read it a couple times myself to really understand what they were saying. So I want to be able to present it so it's simple, easy, and I don't have to, I don't want to read it out of the book, but I do want y'all to understand what it's all about. I don't know that I'm rambling here because I don't want to sound like I'm condescending to everyone who's listening because I'm not, but I just, I want to be sure that it's something that everyone understands as I'm going through it. And they do write technical in this book. I mean, they're writing to winemakers, and so they are talking to people who are, you know, have degrees in winemaking and stuff like that. So,
chemists. you could. We're supposed to make it. We're supposed to make wine more enjoyable and less confusing. So
exactly. And boy, I'll tell you what, as I was reading through this, I'm saying, but this can be confusing. And so I said, I'm never going to get this interpreted in time for the show. So I set it over to the side here, and I have to go through it this week, and possibly next week I'll have it laid out for you. So, but again, not that you guys understand what I'm saying out there. It's just that there's no reason to make you go, huh? What does that mean?
All right, we will. We'll definitely look forward to that whenever.
No,
whenever
y'all don't have a mic background to interpret and find out stuff for you, so I do see some. So I'll go through.
That's what I do. It's interesting because we have the Facebook feed now, and I'm trying to change the little cards that you see on the Facebook video as you're talking, and I'm taking notes at the same time, and then I'm doing the research, and so I'm changing that the little squares that, you know, the topic that you're talking about, and I'll update the topic on Facebook. I'll put a note in my notes that I take for the shows, and then I'll look something up on the computer. I'm like, I need like four more monitors. That would be great. If I could get another computer with two monitors and have four, I mean, this would be perfect. You know, I could just, I'll work on this computer for my research, and, you know.
You need a couple minions. All right. You need a couple minions. Anyone out there wants to be Mike's minion, you can use a couple.
Yes. You don't have to be
no
yellow.
Pay.
What colors are there? Yeah. No pay. Ooh.
No. No pay. Ooh. Just a minion.
That's right there,
right?
That's right. Unpaid minion. But you do get the you get in the credits and you get in the credits and the credit rolls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we'll even let you talk every once in a while on the show.
That's stretching.
A little bit. Maybe say hi when we, you know, but that's it.
Yeah.
But Mike needs a couple of minions to do search the bulk stuff. You have to know what you're doing on that. You can't just step in there and say, how do you do this? Okay.
Oh, that'd be funny.
So I don't think
that's going to happen.
Mike needs
to
keep that in mind, and you can always get in touch with us and All About Wine, and we'll get you going from there. All right.
It's no big deal. Well, we will go ahead and end the show this week for September 19th, and we will be back next week, the last day of September, which is September 26th. And we will see you. Yeah, already we're into October. Week after next. So yeah.
Well, next Monday is first day of autumn, 23rd. Is it? Yeah. 23rd,
wow.
First day of autumn.
I've noticed a difference in the weather already. It's been in the low 90s, upper 80s, and it's just really
as
cold right
to
now.
Upper
so
90s,
it's it's feeling great.
It's changing. Yeah. So, and humidity. Humidity used to be 95. Oh. Now it's only 70. So that,
it's wonderful.
Doesn't make a big difference because it's supposed to be lower humidity Tuesday, and I was out playing golf, and oh my gosh, it was still so unbelievably hot. But I said, it's not the humidity, it's the heat, which, and the guys I was playing with didn't think that was funny, but it's not the heat, it's humidity. And I told him, no, it's not the humidity, it's the heat.
Sure. we'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks again for tuning in, and y'all have a great week. And enjoy
thanks for
the
listening.
National
Be safe
today.
Out there.
Yeah.
And see you next week.
See you next week. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.